You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later, we'll be talking with actress Anna Deavere Smith about her healthcare-themed one-woman show called Let Me Down Easy. But first, graphic novels. Have you read them? These adult comic books? They are no longer solely for superhero stories. They're really interesting because more and more they're beginning to tell true stories, combining the cinematic elements of the illustrations, the details of a novel, and a lot of times they talk about real-life issues. In this hour, we're going to look at two new science-oriented graphic novels. And the first one we're going to look at is something about what is often discussed all the time and a lot of times misunderstood. It's called Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species, a graphic adaptation. It not only takes you step-by-step through the actual origin of species, but also tells the story of Charles Darwin's quest to write this seminal work. It's written by Michael Keller and really richly illustrated by Nicole Rager Fuller. And the author is here to talk about explaining natural selection in comics. So if you'd like to talk about that, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. You can tweet us at SciFry. I want to bring on Michael Keller, author and journalist. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ira. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, this is a terrific book. I mean, how do you get the idea of explaining a complex scientific issue in basically what I call a comic book style?
Well, basically, we were kind of excited about telling about evolution. The idea came to us to do it in the visual format, and what better way to do it than just to basically adapt kind of the foundation stone for the entire study of evolutionary biology.
And it told in a very interesting story way. How did you decide how you were going to tell the story?
That kind of came up organically as I started kind of really diving into Darwin's original work and started kind of confronting the Victorianness of exactly how I was going to adapt it to, you know, the modern reader and the modern mindset. And one of the things that kind of jumped out at me immediately was that a lot of the misunderstanding starts with we look at him as we do most of these figures who we consider to be geniuses apart from the tapestry of the world that they lived in at the time. So I wanted to bring people into his world first and show who he was, what the time was, all the amazing things that were going on, and some of the crazy things, the revolutions and the Enlightenment and all the new thought that was out there. It was like a cauldron, and I just wanted to put it into perspective before jumping into the actual science of the origin.
You've split it up into three parts of the book.
Right. Yeah. There's basically a biopic and like a time setter as part one. Part two is the adaptation, and part three is basically here's this amazing principle that was set down at this time. Fast forward 150 years, what has been going on, and you know, is it still the same, or you know, what's been filled in since then?
Had you read the original Darwin before you jumped into this project?
In large bits and pieces, it's interesting. My background in undergrad, I was in ecology, and it was something that we used pretty constantly, but just as a basic principle. It was not something that we needed to go back in and study his actual words, which is actually a shame. But, you know, every text that you would deal with, in whether you're talking about population genetics or you know, evolution or embryology, is going to, or even ornithology or anything like that, is going to key off of the basic principles that he set forth. But you don't have to go back to 1859 to read it.
Let's go to the phones. Matt in Minneapolis. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much. I was just interested in asking the author. First of all, I think it's a brilliant idea to do an illustrated graphic novel of the origin of species and how Darwin created and wrote it. I was wondering what other graphic novels have inspired, if any, inspired your work. Were you inspired by Art Spiegelman's Mouse, which, you know, won the Pulitzer Prize, or R. Crumb's recent illustrated Bible? He did all of Genesis that just came out recently. There have been a lot of great, like, you know, graphic novels in the non-superhero style written over the last, like, 10 years. And I was wondering if you looked to any of those to help inspire how you told the story and the illustrations.
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I did look back to Spiegelman for Mouse. I looked at, I think it was, I might be messing it up here, but I believe it was Crumb who also did Kafka before this, the recent Bible one that he just did that that I found totally interesting. And there's a couple others that I looked at to try and, because one of the other problems with bringing it into the visual format was that what the Origin of Species was is, or what it was a one long argument, and it was a scientific treatise. And what I needed to do was to bring it into to basically create a narrative skeleton,
you need a story
on
line.
Which I could hang the meat off of.
Yeah, you needed, because they tell stories, graphic novels.
Right,
like
right.
Any good book, yeah.
Right, and it's got to go from panel to panel. You have to go. The reader has to. You know, you have to. You're taking the reader on a journey, which he did fantastically in his prose. But it's basically a different media. It's a different format that we're trying to set the narrative up in.
Kellen in Tempe, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me, Mr. Keller. First off, I want to say kudos. Awesome job on this publication, and really thank you for your efforts in getting the Darwin message and the organic evolution to readers in another medium.
Thank you. Thanks. It was a lot of fun to do.
My question for you is, I graduated from Arizona State University's organic evolution program in biology. And we did a lot of studying from the creationist movement, specifically studying guys like Ken Ham, et cetera. My question is whether you got any resistance from that community in the publishing process of this book.
No, not at all. I mean, this is the creative process is one sort of, it's, I guess, sort of, what is the one of the paradigms of biology? It's a one-way process.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was taking information in, but it was very specific as to trying to wrap my head around the science so that I could better tell the story.
So you did stay away from the religious debate that occurred there, and it didn't really touch very much on that in the book.
Yeah, the purpose of the fun that I had in telling the story was thinking about myself, understanding how the idea works and how the concept is put together and where the spaces are, and, you know, basically creating a concrete foundation of the science. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, all the stuff that happened afterwards, we do touch on it a little bit just because, you know, I mean, you can't not at least take one panel to mention that, you know, he created this thing and thus the ground shook.
Right.
But beyond that, I mean, that's, to me, that's extraneous to what we now understand to be the proven science of, you know, common descent and natural selection.
Well, it's a great book, and I'm just blown away by the illustrations and the story and how you got it all in there. And
Nicole did a great job. She's a fantastic illustrator.
And, you know, it's a must-read, I think, for people in studying in school and people who have missed it and want to, you know, to reread it with the great illustration. So I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us, and good luck on the book.
No, thanks, Ira. It's been an honor to talk to you.
You're welcome. Michael Keller, author of Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species, a graphic adaptation with terrific illustrations by Nicola Rager-Fuller. We're now going to bring on another guest talking about another book of the same ilk, and that is Logic Comics, An Epic Search for Truth, a graphic novel that goes back to the foundations of logic to tell the story of logician Bertrand Russell. You probably remember Bertrand Russell if you're old enough, and as he tried to establish absolute truth in mathematics while also making sense of the world around him, and it's really a tale of how one man's obsessive quest for logic almost leads to chaos And the author is Apostolos Daxiadis, and he's here to talk with us about it. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
You too have written it. It's a terrific book, very well illustrated, Logic Comics, An Epic Search for Truth. How did you decide to write this?
Well, I should say, first of all, that my co-author is Christos Papadimitriou, a great computer scientist from Berkeley University, and we're both signing this book together with the illustrators, Alekos Papadatos and Edie Donna. I have a background in mathematics, and I studied mathematics at degree and graduate level. And although I soon after abandoned it for writing, the love of it was always with me. And from my student years, from my brush with mathematical truth, which was intense, even though it was quite short, the idea and the story that I found most interesting to me, emotionally interesting perhaps, affecting me emotionally as well as intellectually, was this quest for foundation, this great insecurity that mathematicians felt around the end of the 19th century about the foundations, the basis of mathematical truth. And the quest, which lasted a few decades and was masterminded by four or five people, Bertrand Russell among them, to establish mathematics on totally secure foundations. What was particularly interesting to us as storytellers here, because Logic Comics is really a story, it is their story, was that this quest, in their cases, was not just motivated by intellectual concerns, but also by a deep, I'd say, existential anxiety to find a meaning in existence.
Mm-hmm. And I want to stop you there because we have to take a break, but I want to come back and talk with you more about it. Don't want to interrupt that very thoughty, weighty thought you're about to give us. So we're going to take a break and come back more and talk more about Logic Comics, An Epic Search for the Truth with Apostolos Daxiadis. Also co-authored by Christos H. Papadimitriou. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatto. This is Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatto. We're talking about a book, I like to call them adult comic books, but they're really graphic novels. Logic Comics, An Epic Search for the Truth with Apostolos Daxiadis and also co-author Christos H. Papadimitriou. I knew I would get that one out. Not to be forgotten are the illustrators, Alekos Papadatos and Annie Didona. Did I get those right?
Oh, yes. Perfect.
I love Greek names. 1-800-999-8255 is our number. Why pick Bertrand Russell of all the people you could have picked?
Well, this is a sort of multi-headed monster, this tale, and there are about, I would say, four or five major protagonists. I think, and, you know, we thought as storytellers here and not as popularizers or science writers, but as storytellers, that Bertrand Russell was the one that a modern reader might identify with most. Most of the other characters, major characters in the story, led very, very secluded, very introverted lives, were with mathematics at their centers and very little outside the center. Bertrand Russell, on the contrary, rather uncharacteristically, perhaps for the cliche of the absent-minded mathematician, was also a very articulate man, a man with a great sense of humor. Cultivated, a political activist, a big flirt, and he had all those other rather colorful aspects to his character and life that made him a very ideal central character, but also a great narrator, because he is the narrator of the story within the story that forms the core of the book.
Yeah.
He has a particularly ironic, sarcastic, I would say, at times style that is particularly well-suited to a kind of narrative which at the same time wants to be one at the same time engaged but also quite distant from the issues it is examining.
Mm-hmm. And you included a back and forth with a character, with Christos, a computer scientist, right, who worked with you, the co-author.
Yes, and the reason we did that, in fact, was that as there were some slight disagreements about the meaning, let's say, of the story, I saw it more as a spiritual quest, a tale of almost like a Greek tragedy, a tale of hubris. We had some heroes in search for the absolute, almost heroes wanting to take the place of God, like many modern scientists have been metaphorically seem to do in our culture, to get an absolute truth that is not metaphysical but scientific. And Christos saw it more as the preamble to the tale of the computer, because at the end of this story we have Alan Turing and the birth of the ideas of the computer. We decided it would be more interesting for us and for the reader, rather than try to iron out the differences between us, to include both aspects, both views of the tale inside the tale. And that is actually what happened in this framing story of Logicomics.
How do you juggle the actual illustrations? Some of them are quite graphic. Do they almost overwhelm the story like they would in a comic book where there's a lot of action? I'm looking at the page where it says, "Traitor, you messed with infinity. You've wrecked the foundations."
Right.
Crash,
right.
Boom, bah.
Okay.
You know?
For the readers who have not seen the book, this is a nightmare. Okay, mm-hmm. This is the illustration of a nightmare where Russell, after meeting Georg Cantor, the father of said theory, because Cantor was the first mathematician who had the courage to deal directly with infinity, to look at infinity face to face, a venture against which the great mathematician Gauss had warned. Russell sees Gauss in a nightmare, say that, you know, what have you done? You have eaten of the forbidden truth, you have of the tree of knowledge, what have you done? So because it is a nightmare, it is exaggerated. But I think if one is using, you know, a new medium or any medium to tell a story, mm-hmm. that one should try and use the language of that medium to the best advantage of the story without being squeamish about it being a story mm-hmm. of scientists.
Right.
It is a comic book, and we are writing a comic book.
And it's very well written. Let's go to Alan in Boise, Idaho. Hi, Alan.
Hi there. Hey, I wanted to pipe in and just point out a couple of other comic books that have come out recently on the subject of science.
Okay.
Well, we have Rotary International put out a full-length comic book about the efforts to eradicate polio and a biography of Jonas Salk, and which is, you know, I would recommend if you can find it. Mm-hmm. And there's another one called The Stuff of Life, which was illustrated by Xander Cannon, which is a graphic guide to genetics and DNA.
We had them on last year.
Oh, no kidding. Well, well, I can recommend both of those fine books, and I'm sure there's quite a few more coming down the pike.
What kind of reaction are you getting from this book? And you're getting positive reactions like this gentleman, Apostolos, who say, we need more of these?
Yes, the reception of the book in both U.S. and the U.K. has been very, very positive. We've had great reviews, great sales, and we were quite surprised when we hit the top of the New York Times bestseller list in graphic novels. We weren't exactly expecting it, beating Batman, Superman, and so on. But and it's been, you know,
isn't that amazing?
Isn't
that amazing? You know, whenever you give whenever people can get science, they'll always drink it up. You know, they can't get enough of this stuff. They just can't find it in most places.
Yes, especially if it's in a form in which they can feel, they can absorb, and which doesn't scare them off.
Exactly. So where do you go from here? Do you have another graphic novel in mind?
Well, there's an idea of continuing this story from the ideas of Alan Turing to the computer age. But, you know, one of the things about this particular novel was that it took 5 years to complete, full-time work for four people. So we have to be very cautious about what we promise.
Yeah.
But we are certainly dreaming of a continuation.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time to take time out of your schedule to be with us today.
It was a pleasure.
Apostolos Doxiadis, who is a co-author of the Logic Comics, An Epic Search for the Truth. I highly recommend this book. You know, if you're looking for a holiday list, this is certainly one to put on it.